That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
From Offscript Health, this is The Sickle, a three-part limited series for patients and caregivers made possible with support from Bluebird Bio and in partnership with the Sickle Cell Disease Foundation of America. Hi, I'm Christopher Grant. Welcome back to The Sickle. In this episode, we'll hear from people living with sickle cell disease and learn about the effect it has on their relationships with their family, friends, and loved ones. They share the challenges of living in a society that is often uninformed about their condition and how it drives them to become advocates for themselves and others with the disease. Medical experts and advocates work daily to improve the lives of those living with SCD. In Episode 1, Dr. Louis Sue and SCD advocate Andre Harris explain sickle cell disease and treatments in depth. And while medical advancements have been made, there is still so much further to go. Many people living with SCD share the challenges of living in a society that is often uninformed about their condition. It often drives them to become advocates for themselves and others with the disease. When you have a rare illness that the world can't see, it pushes you to speak up, to say, "Hey, we're right here and we need your help."
My name is Justina Geneva Williams. I am a person living with sickle cell. I'm 29 years old, and I have sickle cell SS.
Justina is a patient engagement coordinator at Piedmont Health Services and Sickle Cell Agency. She helps people transition from pediatric to adult care by teaching them important life skills. She helps them understand their role in taking on their disease and make sure they understand that their parents or guardians won't always be there as they move on to college or into the workforce.
When you're in the P's, you know, it's like pictures on the wall, you get snacks, they give you activities to do. There's just a lot, you know, and the doctors are really, really nice and in tune to what's going on with you. You know, you have your parents there to help you. You're kind of like in a bubble, you know, like it's very exciting and fun to go to the doctors when you're small, you know, when you're little. I can get a bandage, I can get stickers. When you're transitioning, there's no more pictures on the wall. It's not really interpersonal. It's not really, "Hey, how's your job going? How are things at home?" You don't really get that. That's why you have your social workers there. And I say for myself as a social worker, it's important to have them there. And also having the community-based organization throughout, I try to encourage and empower people who are living with sickle cell and people living with sickle cell trait. It's not a death sentence. It's more of, how do I work around what I have? And I always tell my patients, whenever they're explaining sickle cell, make sure that people knows wherever blood flows, sickle cell goes. So that's from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I think that puts it more in perspective for people. You know, it's like shredded glass flowing through your body 24/7 sometimes. And if you get a day off, that's a good thing. But, you know, it causes a lot of damage, be it physically, mentally, emotionally. And that's where the holistic part comes in my work, you know.
Growing up, Justina was very sick. While kids were going to school, playing outside, or playing sports, Justina was in treatment. She relied on her support system to keep her tethered to the world outside of the hospital.
When I was younger, I didn't really understand what sickle cell is, because a lot of the times it's like a lonely disease. When you're in pediatrics, like in the hospital, you'll go in the playroom and you'll see your parent talking to another parent, and you'll probably play with that kid for like an hour, and they could be leaving the next day and you're still there. going to school was really, really painful. With sickle cell, you can have like jaundice eyes, which is yellow eyes, and kids don't really understand. You know, I could be playing on the playground from 1 minute to the next, and I'll be in the hospital for like 5 days because I overexerted myself. I say that to say that when I went to camp at Camp New Hope in Georgia, where my dad lives, I really experienced knowing other people who had sickle cell that looked just like me and understood what I was going through. So I started camp when I was around 10 or 11, and I have lifelong friends now. As I was growing up, I did lose a lot of friends to sickle cell. And so there was a social worker there at the camp, and I was like, well, what do you do? You know, I was always a curious kid to find out like what people did, what was their role, how did they work with sickle cell? So when I found out about her background and what she did, I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to help people with sickle cell.
Justina then attended college at North Carolina A&T, where she studied to become a social worker. Piedmont Health Services and Sickle Cell Agency was right across the street from her school, so she started volunteering her freshman year.
Sometimes they had to tell me to leave because I would always be there trying to figure out like everything that they do, not only from the sickle cell program, but also from their HIV program, SCOPE team, and from their Baby Love Plus program. I wanted to work there in whatever capacity that I could work there, be it with people with sickle cell or just people who are in marginalized situations. And so I really took heed and, you know, followed through with everything that I was doing. During that time, I did have a great support system. My support system was really my family. I have a big family, even with my extended family, like my cousins and my aunts and uncles, like everybody knew I had sickle cell, and they did what they needed to do whenever there was a situation with me. I did have friends at school. They understood what sickle cell was, even at a young age. You know, I kind of wanted them to understand that, hey, sometimes I'll be here and sometimes I won't. If you can bring me my schoolwork, can you do that? So it was just the small things. I was thinking like in college, like, oh boy, I'm getting a roommate, but they probably don't know what sickle cell is. So I brought like this thick packet of stuff for her to read. I just made sure that she understood that sometimes I might not feel well, and I'll let you know if it's bad. But if you see me sleeping long or just don't look like myself, you know, ask me what's going on, because a lot of times, like I said, we're silent. We don't want people to feel like, oh, you can't do things on your own, or we don't want that. We want to be normal people. And so it's okay to have help from other people.
Justina followed her curiosity to the field she works in today, preparing youth with SCD for adulthood, the same experience she once went through. Justina found her passion early on in life, but there are many SCD patients who find their way to advocacy in adulthood.
My name is Dr. Carolyn Rowley. I am the founder and executive director at Cayenne Wellness Center, Sickle Cell Disease Education, Support, and Advocacy.
Dr. Rowley graduated from UCLA in 1994. She then worked in the field of breast cancer and prostate cancer research. Once she started a family of her own, she reevaluated what she wanted to do for a living.
I was born with sickle cell disease, and as a result, I think it was inevitable for me to actually circle back to working in this population. I think it was always there. I did my master's thesis on sickle cell and depression and suicidality. I think I was always meant to come back to this space. That opportunity came when I had my daughter.
And in 1999, Cayenne Wellness Center was created. They began with a celebration for Sickle Cell Awareness Month in September, hosting seminars and events focused on mental health, community, and wellness.
Now, there are community health workers all across the state of California who identify people who have been diagnosed with sickle cell disease. They also offer medical homes, transportation services, and financial assistance for SCD patients. Dr. Rowley's holistic approach to care is an approach that many advocates are taking due to the overall lack of access to healthcare services.
I actually start with the family, believe it or not. I always have the family come in just the first time. Why? Because that person did not grow up in a bubble. They are a product of relationships, family dynamics. And if they're married, I want to find out too about that relationship, or if they're in a relationship with someone for a long time. Those relationships are important. So now I have that information that I've gathered. The second thing is social, and that's social and family. Do they have good relationships with their family and or friends? If not, we got to deal with that. Then the self-acceptance, we look at that, and then we look at spirituality. So we may be working on one of those five. I'm hoping we don't have to work on all five. If we have to, we do. So again, you see that it doesn't matter what they may be coming in. It's going to be addressed by looking at all aspects of this holistic view that I take.
States did not widely adopt newborn screening for SCD until 1986. Anyone born before then often went undiagnosed. It was common for parents to receive a diagnosis once their child was in the hospital, having their first pain episode. That kind of fear and confusion was what Dr. Rowley and her family went through.
According to my mom, I was 2 years old. I was crying and asking to go to the bathroom. I was in my room, and my mom and dad were in the living room. And she says, "You can get up and go to the bathroom." But obviously I was in pain and crying. And when she came into the room, she saw that I was so, you know, much in a fetal position. And so my dad took me to the hospital, and they didn't know what it was. And then in about a month's time or so, that's when my parents found out that I had sickle cell disease. And again, back in the day, information wasn't so accessible. So they didn't really have a lot of knowledge. And then I had a younger sister. So what I recall is spending time in the hospital alone, both parents working, having to take care of my, you know, younger sister. And I spent a lot of time alone with books. And I had friends in school. So that was elementary. I don't recall that much, except that I know that I was out for periods of time. And then middle school, high school, what I do recall looking back is, again, I was a pretty content person, except when I had pain. And then I was down.
Sound familiar? So far, Andre, Justina, and Dr. Rowley have described the pain and isolation that comes with a childhood with SCD. Their upbringings are unique, but share the same significant experiences that they could never forget.
And I still recall, again, the defining moment. I have these defining moments in my life where I didn't like that roller coaster of emotion, having pain, not quite knowing what my triggers were at that time, but then feeling better once I got out and getting back into the groove. So I felt like, gosh, it's almost like a freeway where you have to get off the exit, even though everybody is still moving forward, and then take a pause, and then merge back in, and then continue. Then you're having to take that exit and merge back in. With those up and downs, I also felt that I didn't want to live. And it was more so because I didn't want to deal with the pain anymore. So I still remember my conversation with God, and I said, "Look, I'm ready to be taken away. However, God, if you allow me to get through this next pain episode, then you have to give me the tools to have peace about it, to have continuous joy, because these feelings of depression and not wanting to live was knocking me out. I didn't like it. It felt bad. I no longer wanted to feel that way." So that was a defining moment. That was in high school. And I haven't felt that way since. Don't get me wrong, the pain still hurts, but my mindset literally shifted That's exactly what happened. And now I know more, and we educate people to know more about what are your triggers. What are some of the things that you can do? Sometimes, you know what? It just comes on. And that's so unfortunate, you know, when there's no control. But for the most part, if we know what our triggers are, we can get on top of that. You know, we can do some things to lessen the pain and maybe not even have to go to the hospital. So that was a defining moment for my joy and my peace, where that I no longer wanted to just go along with the flow of that up and down of those depressive feelings. I didn't like it, and I didn't want to deal with that, which is why we actually started the Mental Health and Wellness Initiative. Many people are depressed for a variety of reasons.
We'll be right back after the break. Life with sickle cell is not an easy one, but with a strong support system, you can get the help you need to manage your treatment and symptoms. We've heard what life is like living with sickle cell, but what is it like to live in a world that can't see your illness? We know how SCD patients interact with their medical doctors, friends, and family, but what about their romantic life? What's it like dating with sickle cell? Unfortunately, stigma affects even the most personal areas of life. Knowledge on how SCD is passed on is not had by all. In places like the UK, where the population of people living with SCD is more concentrated, conversations about partnering and SCD are being had. Sharon, a 24-year-old SCD patient and grad student, decided she had enough of the online discourse.
Okay, so there's like a debate being had on whether you'll date someone with sickle cell or not, and it is disgusting. And it is distasteful. You guys are spending so much time having these silly debates when the discourse should move from would you date someone that has sickle cell to focusing on actually helping the people that are alive right now and have sickle cell, trying to rally people to give blood, like trying to get more people tested for the trait. What purpose does it actually serve? Apart from alienating a community that already feels alienated. I don't see people debating and saying, oh, I'll never get with someone that has cancer. I'll never get with someone that is autistic. Never get with someone that has cystic fibrosis. And that's how it's supposed to be. So why is sickle cell being brought up in conversations like that? Like, it's disgusting, it's nasty. And it's annoying.
A common misconception is that if you have children with someone with SCD, your children will have the disease as well. But in actuality, if one parent has sickle cell anemia, SS disease, and the other is normal hemoglobin, AA, all of the children will have sickle cell trait. If one parent has sickle cell anemia, SS, and the other has sickle cell trait, AS, there is a 50% chance, or 1 out of 2, of having a baby with either sickle cell disease or sickle cell trait with each pregnancy. When both parents have sickle cell trait, they have a 25% chance, 1 of 4, of having a baby with sickle cell disease with each pregnancy. The sickle cell trait does not cause symptoms like SCD. The only way a child is guaranteed to have sickle cell anemia is if both parents have sickle cell anemia. The best way to figure out your status and probability is with a blood test and genetic counseling. For Justina's work, genetic counseling and awareness go hand in hand.
It's no longer going to be a rare disease if there are more people who are having children with sickle cell disease, because they don't know. And you got to talk about sickle cell trait as well. Because a lot of people know that they have sickle cell trait, but they're like, okay. And then they meet a partner and they don't think about, oh, I have sickle cell trait too. And it's a 1 out of 4 chance that our child will have sickle cell. You don't get told those things until it's like right before you have a child. it's scary to think that, you know, we're still behind the ball with sickle cell.
Justina offers some advice for those who have sickle cell and are looking for love.
It is extremely important that you get to know that person and let them know that you have sickle cell. Because in my first relationship, I kind of made a mistake. I didn't let them know that I had sickle cell like right away. And then when I did, it was like a shocker to them. But we were already in our relationship for a while. So it was like, do I dump you or do I not dump you? And it felt awkward for me because it was like, man, I didn't give this person an option. You know, if I would have given them the option, I still would have been okay. I guess as you get older, because I was 19 then, but now I have an amazing boyfriend. You know, I told him like when we first started dating, hey, I have sickle cell. This is what it is. And this is how it can affect me. You have the option to do, we don't have to date if that is something that's going to bother you or something that you don't want to, you know, take on. And he's like, no, I have a father that has X, Y, Z. I know what the hospital life is. Da, 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 da. And I was just like, wow, you know, wow. This is somebody that I really prayed for, you know. He's been in the hospital with me. He's been there when my mom was at work. And he makes sure that, hey, babe, did you take your medicine? You don't look like you're feeling well today. How about we go out for ice cream to make you feel a little bit better? Or, you know, he understands what it is to be a person that has a girlfriend or a boyfriend with sickle cell, you know? And it feels amazing to have somebody that understands that. I believe when you're dating with sickle cell, it is important to give people that option. Everybody has something or is going to go through something in life. And whether or not that person wants to be there, that doesn't make you any different. And so I say enjoy life. You know, protect yourself and be careful and make sure that you're doing what you're doing for the right reasons. I believe that everybody with sickle cell will eventually find love because there is somebody out there for you.
A big part of SCD advocacy is awareness. It can increase support and reduce the stigma that affects SCD patients' daily lives. Advocates are working every day to increase awareness and support. We'll leave you with their calls to action. Dr. Rowley's Cayenne Wellness hosts many events and online seminars that provide support to SCD patients and their families. If you live in California, look out for their trait status campaign so you too can know your SCD trait status.
This year, we're going to launch the California Sickle Cell Trait Outreach and Awareness Initiative, which means that starting with middle schools and high school and college, we're going to have this statewide campaign of knowing your trait status. It's so important. In all states now, there's newborn screening. And so families know when their child has sickle cell disease, as well as the trait. But with the trait, oftentimes parents put that letter aside and they don't recall. Children who are now in middle school, high school, and interested in being sexually active, I want them to go into relationships with knowledge. And you need to know your trait status and be able to also ask your partner about their trait status. The other that we're planning on is called the March on Hospitals. Many states are supporting us. This is not a nationwide appeal yet. This is only going to happen in California. But what we're doing is we've been meeting to put together a 10-point policy. So what we're going to be doing every month when we actually launch this is we will share with hospitals in advance that we're coming to you. You've been noted as a hospital that is not sickle cell friendly. That hospital has an opportunity to meet with us and to adopt our policy and to put in protocols. If they do not want to, we will be marching on the grounds, not blocking any entrances, but on the ground with our signs saying that sickle cell lives matter, our pain is real, etc.
Outside of her work with Piedmont Health Services, Justina started the North Carolina Sickle Cell Client Legislative Committee, where they talk to senators and legislators about sickle cell and the people it affects.
And that is where you can grasp a lot of people, is by your story. Social media is so huge now. We can make a lot of noise with social media, a lot of good noise. The community-based organizations are doing extremely well. I work on a research project now, and my role is to inform the CBOs and ask them, like, how can we make things new for the community-based organization, especially during COVID? Zoom is a huge thing. Podcasts are a huge thing as well. Those are the things that make it so like a diamond in the rough, I think COVID was, for us to be able to come together as a community and really put things into perspective a larger level. You can log on to something that's in New York City or something that's in Georgia or California or Texas. You can reach out to people on social media platforms and talk and discuss and be on live, and just those different things are now happening in the sickle cell community. But I just want people to understand what they're advocating for, making sure that people understand that sickle cell looks different for everyone and it's just not a uniform disease. And to become their own advocate is all I really want for the people that I work with and for. I want everybody to be able to be their own advocate, because I've been in situations where I had to be my own advocate. And it's not fun, but it is important to know that. You know, if people really understood how creative they can get with the sickle cell community, I feel like we would be so much further.
I'm Christopher Grant. Thank you for listening to The Sickle. In our next episode, we will explore how sickle cell disease shines a light on the extreme medical disparities in the American healthcare system. The Sickle is a production of Offscript Health. Our senior producer is Brianna Seely. Our assistant producer is Joey Brenneman. Our executive producers are Matthew Zachary and Andrew McDowell. All views expressed by our guests are their own. Check out our show notes for information about the clips and music in the series. For more information about this series, visit thesicklepodcast.com. That's thesicklepodcast.com. For more information about the Sickle Cell Disease Foundation of America and how you can take an active role as a sickle cell patient advocate, visit sicklecelldisease.org. That's sicklecelldisease.org. For additional information about Offscript Health, visit offscript.com. That's offscript.com.